All right, everyone, get ready for this. Today we're diving deep into, well, kind of a legal gray area, one of those places where modern relationships sort of bump up against some pretty outdated laws.
Definitely a hot topic.
Yeah, just imagine, right, being labeled a sex offender, like for life, even though everything you did was totally legal.
Oh, yeah, I can see where this is going.
Well, that's the situation John Nash is facing. And that's actually where our story starts today.
This is the case, United States v. Nash, and let me tell you, it's got everyone in the legal world talking. It throws all these big questions right in our faces. Sexting, age of consent laws, and those child pornography statutes, you know the ones I'm talking about. It gets pretty messy pretty fast.
Okay, so for those of us who aren't lawyers, right, let's break this down a little bit. Like, what actually happened in this case?
Right, okay. So we're in Alabama, and John Nash is 22 years old. He is in a relationship with a 16-year-old girl. It's consensual, totally legal in Alabama. But here's where things get complicated. His girlfriend sent him some explicit photos of herself. Four, to be exact.
So wait, he got charged because of these photos, even though, like you said, their relationship was legal in Alabama.
Yep, that's right. He got hit with possession of child pornography charges, and that's a federal crime, so we're not talking about some minor offense here.
Wow.
Even the judge in the case, Judge Beaudry, called it an odd day in court because it just didn't make sense. Like, their relationship was okay under state law, but then these photos become this huge federal issue.
Yeah, I can see how that would be confusing. It sounds like a real legal paradox. So how did the court even begin to figure out, like, what his sentence should be?
Well, the initial recommendation was 24 to 30 months in prison.
Seriously, that seems pretty harsh.
Oh, absolutely. And that came from the prisoner's report. That's basically where they lay out the details of the case and suggest a sentencing range for the judge.
Okay, so that's where they start. But then the judge didn't follow that recommendation, right?
Right. This is where those six factors they considered really come to play.
Okay, so let's talk about those factors. I mean, the court basically had to come up with a way to, like, make sense of this whole situation, right? Where the law seems pretty straightforward, but leads to a result that just feels wrong.
Exactly. They had to really dig deep into the specifics of this case. And the first factor they considered was the fact that the relationship itself was, like we said, totally legal in Alabama.
So they're acknowledging right away that this isn't some, like, classic predator situation.
Exactly. This isn't a case of someone going out and exploiting a minor.
Right.
And that distinction is super important because a lot of the assumptions baked into the sentencing guidelines for child pornography just don't fit here. Those guidelines are designed to punish people who, produce, distribute, or possess huge amounts of this exploitative material.
So the court's basically saying that these guidelines, which are meant to protect children, could actually be doing harm in a case like this.
I think that's a great way to put it. And that's really just the beginning. The other five factors they considered just get more and more complex.
Okay, I'm definitely hooked. What else did they look at when they were deciding what to do with Nash?
So the second factor was kind of unexpected. They took into account Nash's untreated ADHD.
Wait, how does ADHD even factor into a child pornography case?
Yeah, it might seem strange, but the court argued that his ADHD could have messed with his judgment. Like, maybe he wasn't as mature, developmentally, as a typical 22-year-old.
Okay, interesting.
And that could mean the 6-year age difference between him and his girlfriend, while it might not have been as significant in terms of power dynamics,
I see. So they're not just looking at age, they're thinking about other things that might affect how mature someone actually is. What about the other factors?
Well, the third and fourth were more straightforward. The court pointed out that Nash never asked for the photos and he didn't share them with anyone. Plus, he only had those four images and they were all from his girlfriend. And that's a huge difference from those cases you see with massive collections of child pornography, where it's pretty clear they're planning to distribute it, right?
Right. So again, the court is basically saying, look, this guy isn't some kind of, hardcore criminal here. It seems like they're really trying to figure out how guilty he actually is,
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to get beyond just the charge itself and really understand the specifics of what happened.
Okay, makes sense. What about the last two factors?
All right, so those were all about Nash as a person and, whether he was trying to make things right. The court noted that he was actively getting counseling for his ADHD.
Okay.
And this is important. He also went through a psychosexual evaluation, and they determined that he was low risk to reoffend.
So they're saying, okay, he's got this mental health issue, but he's dealing with it. and they're bringing in an expert to figure out if he's actually a danger to others.
Exactly. They're looking at the whole picture, not just this one event.
Mm.
So with all that in mind, I bet you're wondering what his sentence ended up being.
Yeah, tell me. What did they decide?
60 months of probation. That's what he got.
Okay, so no prison time, but still a pretty serious consequence.
Well, yeah, for sure. And there's a catch, a big one. He also has to register as a sex offender.
Whoa, really? So that means...
Then that label, it stays with him for life.
Wow, that's a heavy consequence. I mean, 60 months of probation, that's a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then to be labeled a sex offender on top of that, for life? I mean, that just seems wild considering everything the court took into account.
It really does make you think, right?
It does. It seems like this case, this United States v. Nash, it's about way more than just this one guy.
You're right. It is. It kind of throws this whole can of worms open, you know, about how our legal system handles cases that involve technology, and especially when we're talking about young people, and how all that mixes with these older laws that might not really fit anymore.
It's like, is the law really ready to deal with something like sexting? I mean, it's everywhere now.
Exactly. I mean, these laws were written before sexting even existed, so we're trying to take these old rules and apply them to this totally new world of how people interact, especially young people.
And that's where the judge's comments about the sentencing guidelines come in, right? Like, he was pretty critical of them.
Yeah, he was. He basically said they're fundamentally flawed when you try to apply them to cases like this.
He's basically saying that a law that's designed to protect kids is actually causing harm in some cases.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it. And it's interesting because he's not alone in thinking that. You see more and more legal experts and even some other judges starting to raise these same concerns.
Okay, so this is a big deal, obviously. But I'm curious, for the lawyers and law students listening, what can they take away from all this? Like, how does this case, this United States v. Nash, actually affect them?
I think one of the biggest things to take away is that context is everything. As an attorney, you can't just focus on the charge itself. You need to tell the whole story, show all the details of the situation, explain what your client intended, and explain what the consequences of a conviction would really mean for them.
So it's about looking beyond just the law on the books and really understanding the purpose behind the law, right?
Yeah.
Making sure it's being applied fairly.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great way to put it. And, you know, this case could really change how these types of cases are handled going forward. Because it suggests that judges can actually decide to do something different from those rigid sentencing guidelines if they think the result would be unfair.
Hmm, that's a good point. This case also makes you wonder if just relying on age is always the right way to go. You know, like, remember how the court considered Nash's ADHD? That's not something you see every day.
Yeah, it's pretty groundbreaking. It shows that maybe judges need to look beyond just how old someone is and think about other things that might affect their development and their decision making.
Right. Right. And that could change how other cases involving young people are dealt with.
For sure.
What about expert testimony? That seemed to play a big role in Nash's sentence, right?
Absolutely. Like that psychosexual evaluation, the one that showed Nash was low risk to reoffend. That kind of evidence can be incredibly powerful. It helps the court really understand the person, not just the charges they're facing.
Yeah, it's like it gives the court a different perspective.
It does. It helps them make a decision based on evidence instead of just fear, you know? And that makes a huge difference, especially in cases like this.
So we've got this case that's making us rethink all these assumptions about sexting and age and even maturity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's showing us that the law might not be keeping up with all the changes in technology and how people live their lives. So what happens now?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It'll be really interesting to see how this case affects future cases and whether it might even lead to lawmakers changing the laws. Because let's be honest, as technology keeps advancing and people's understanding of relationships and sexuality changes, the law has to change too.
Absolutely. And we're just scratching the surface here. I mean, what does this mean for privacy in the digital age? And how do we balance the need to protect children with the fact that teenagers are doing this stuff, often consensually?
These are tough questions. They're the kind of questions that keep legal scholars and lawmakers, probably even judges, up at night. And yeah, this case doesn't give us all the answers, but it definitely points us in the right direction. You know, it makes us think critically and challenge our assumptions and try to create a legal system that's both fair and realistic.
Yeah, it's like we're watching the legal world try to catch up with technology in real time. kind of a wild ride if you think about it. If the law is already struggling to keep up, where are we going to be in 5, 10 years, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's the question, right? It's a big one.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's circle back for a sec. For all those lawyers and law students out there, what's the takeaway from this whole United States v. Nash thing? What can they actually use from this?
Yeah, what can they do with this information when they're in court actually arguing a case?
I think, honestly, this case throws the old playbook right out the window.
Okay.
Attorneys can't just be focused on the technicalities of the law anymore. It's not enough.
Right.
They have to be master storytellers, basically. You have to weave this whole narrative that shows how complex these situations really are. You can't just throw statutes around. You got to connect with the human side of it all. Show the court what a conviction would really mean for this person's life.
I mean, it's like you're not just informing the court. You're trying to get them to see the case from a totally different perspective.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. And United States v. Nash is a perfect example of how to do that well. It shows us that judges are willing to consider things that go beyond the black and white of the law, especially when you're dealing with technology and how quickly things are changing in society.
So it's almost like a call to action, right? Not just for lawyers, but for lawmakers, too. We got to bridge that gap between the law and what's actually happening in the real world with all the tech and everything.
Couldn't agree more. This case should be a wake-up call for all those legislatures, honestly. It's time for them to take a hard look at these laws and update them, especially the ones that deal with child pornography.
Right.
They got to find that balance, right?
Right.
Protecting children is crucial, but at the same time, not every case of sexting between teenagers should be treated like someone who's out there distributing truly harmful material.
That's a huge point. Like, when we label someone like John Nash a sex offender, does it make that label less meaningful when we're talking about people who actually pose a real danger to kids? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's almost like we're crying wolf too many times, you know? When we use that label too broadly, it loses its power, and then it might actually be harder to find and stop the people who are really dangerous.
So we're basically dealing with the consequences of laws that were written for a different time. Are we turning behaviors that are, you know, maybe risky or whatever, but increasingly common among young people, especially consensual things, are we turning those into crimes?
That's the heart of it, right? And that leads to some pretty heavy ethical questions. Where's the line? How do we protect people while also respecting their privacy? These aren't easy questions, but cases like this force us to start having that conversation.
And that's what's so great about these deep dives, right? We're not always going to find all the answers. But we are going to find the right questions, the ones that make us really think and challenge the way things are.
Exactly. United States v. Nash, it's like a jumping off point for a conversation we need to be having about technology, law, and how all of that interacts with the ways society is changing. It reminds us that the law has to evolve, it has to be alive, and these kinds of cases can help point it in the right direction.
So as we wrap up our deep dive here, what's the one thing you hope our listeners take away from all of this?
For me, the biggest takeaway is that the legal world is changing fast, and we all have a role to play in shaping how it changes. Lawyer, lawmaker, even just an informed citizen, everyone's voice matters. Stay informed, stay engaged, and never stop asking the tough questions.
Well said. And that's a wrap for another deep dive. We'll be back next week with a brand new case, one that'll keep the debate going. Until then, keep those legal minds sharp, everyone.